Mike Buseglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to RunCast, a weekly forum of everything running, with your host, Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years. Don't forget this week as well to stop into the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, where you can drop off your used coats. Drop off a coat and donate it to the big warm-up and receive a discount on your purchase. Now here's Mark Lorenzoni.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's RunCast. Appreciate you listening in. We're in a transition period now. Pretty exciting. Marathon season slowly winding down. Cross-country season about ready to enter its second season. 10-miler training program about ready to start up. All good stuff. Tons of races every weekend. More than you can imagine. You got your choice of so many these days. So a lot of things. UVA opened up the They pretty much destroyed the competition at the Panorama Invitational. I was going to say they opened up their home season, but it was their first big meet of the season for the varsity guys, home meet of the season, and they really did well, both the men and the women. On the guys' side, Mark Armeralt finished second, Chris Foley third, Drew Paisley ninth, 11th was Robbie Andrews, the Jersey Bomber, the 800-meter champion, and then 14th, David Cotton. So that's a pretty, you know, low-score wins. Your top five in. Your number five guy is always the guy that you're looking at. We've talked about this before. So you went 2, 3, 9, 11, 14. Pretty impressive, Mike, that you get five guys in the top 14. You're going to win every time with a score right like that. And on the women's side, Julie Stackhouse in her first season coaching at Virginia from North Florida. She's doing a fantastic job stepping in. The women seem to like her. She's developing trust with them and seems to be really taking a talented group of women and bringing them out to their max. Barbara Streller, she's just been a workhorse. She's always one of the top, if not the top runner every time. She finished third. Chelsea Lay fourth. Anna Corrigan sixth. Chelsea France eighth. And Catherine Walker 11th. And you're missing, of course, Catherine White and Morgan Gay there. So they went 3, 4, 6, 8, 11. Mm. Even better than the guys, a lower score. And they also won. Congrats to them. And they'll go to ACC's on the 29th down in Clemson. So also a nice little shout-out to Derek Armstrong. He's Western's top runner. He was the All-Central Virginia Runner of the Year last year. He's in his first year at Georgetown. He was their top runner, 25-28. So a decent showing from Derek. On the high school side, the districts are coming up next Wednesday. That's out at Jefferson. The Jefferson District's out at Panorama on the 26th. So that's coming up right around the bend. So that's the start of their second season for all the high schoolers. Of course, AAA, single A, everybody will be in district championship mode next week. And Albemarle finished out their regular season. They got beaten. First time all season they got beaten within the state boundaries. That's okay. They lost to rival Stafford. It makes them a little hungrier.
Right.
Gets them back on their toes again. They're still having an issue with their number five runner. There's been a variety of guys in and out at number five. But once again, number five, very important. They did something, Mike, that's never been done ever in local cross-country history. Alec went back, and somebody can correct us if we're wrong on this, but we believe that it's never happened before that the top four runners on the guy's side, any local team, ran 16:10 for your fourth guy and faster. That's amazing. Wow. So their fourth man in was 16 minutes and 10 seconds. And yet, go to show you how important that number five guy is, they still lost the meet. So they had four guys in, they had this thing in the bag. And it's not like the number five guy's running that slow, but he was 17:10. He's a minute back. Cannot afford to have your number five guy be a minute behind your number four runner. You're going to get whacked just about every time. So they're going to have to figure that one out. That number five guy, whoever he may be, there's a bunch of guys have been going after it. They got to get that together by the time they get to regional competition. Another cool thing, milestat.com. They love to do all kinds of rankings. That's kind of the Bible of cross-country running for Virginia. They are doing a top 10 countdown, the greatest high school coaches in the state. And so they've gone 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and now they'll do the top five this week, I believe. But anyway, in the top, in the first five, we have two of them.
There you go.
We've got Buzz Mail at number 7 from Albemarle. And, of course, Buzz has coached at Miller, coached at UVA, coached at Episcopal, coached at Langley. And then one stint job for the number 6 guy, Lindy Bain. He's been at Western for a little over 25 years, and he's a legend, both of them, about 60 years of coaching between the two of them, several state championships between the two of them, and just tremendous coaches. And we're blessed to have them in the area. So congrats to those two. And I just want to call out to Jason Vigilante, too, on a great job with that meet the other day. I forgot to mention that. Just well-organized. It was a beautiful day at Panorama, absolutely gorgeous. It was chilly, a little windy. Of course, the grass was wet from all that rain last week. And just congrats to him and a good hire in that Julie Stackhouse. Glenn Anderson, he's ticked off, checked the 45th box. He did Hartford, so he's got Connecticut out of the way. Another ho-hum, 354. I mean, most people would kill for a sub-4. So he's running these at about 8:50 to 9 minute pace.
45.
Number 45, number 46 up this weekend. So he's only got a week break in between. He's going to Albuquerque to try and check the New Mexico box.
Once he gets to 50, we should get him. In here.
Oh yeah, no. I think that actually be a great one. Thomas Adam debuted. He's on the RMR team. Debuted in first marathon with a 2:33. A little bit off his goal, but still a tremendous time. Had a bunch of logistical things go astray right at the start. That's about 5:50 a mile. Did that out of Columbus. Way to go to him. Donnie Cowart, fifth-ranked steeplechaser in the United States. He's also on the RMR team. He's in Colorado Springs right now, working out with the USA team, the USA team. They're going to the Pan Am Games, Mike, and that's one of the biggest, most prestigious international meets. That's the end of October that he'll actually compete in Guadalajara. Representing the U.S. will be one of the three steeplechasers there. So, and that'll end out his season. And then knock wood, he comes home healthy. He starts up his training for the Olympic trials and a possible shot. I hardly can believe I'm saying it, but a possible shot at making the Olympics. Sophie Spidell, champion at Buck Mountain Half Marathon. Brandon Jeffers, he's the male champion, 125 to him, 138 to her. We had a nice crowd out there, beautiful. That was last Saturday out at Free Union. Gorgeous stuff. Our Live and Learn department, oh my gosh, you know, a marathoning season always brings out the best and the worst in kind of behavior, and I don't mean behavior as in someone's being a bad boy or bad girl, but just learning lessons and lessons and lessons about what to do and what not to do. My friend Chi Ching Wu, she used to live in the area. I've coached her. She was doing the Baltimore Marathon, was having a tremendous day, but at 25 3/4 miles, she was just a little over, just about a half mile from the finish line, she just weaves off the course and takes her about another 25 minutes to finish. She just electrolyte drop, got disoriented. I could go on and on. So I asked her, Chi Ching, you know, tell me about your pacing. Sounded pretty good. Didn't do anything too crazy with her pacing. But big mistake, didn't carry a bottle on her, didn't have a bottle in her hand. Mm-hmm. She was relying on the Gatorade water stops, and she was sipping, Mike, sipping 2 to 3 sips every 2.5, 3 miles. So she maybe got in over the marathon. She might have gotten in 15, 18 ounces. You should be getting in 50, 60 ounces for a marathon, you know, over the course of it. So she's lucky she got that far without having some issues. But she was right on pace to run a big PR. She was at 3:55, 3 hours and 55 minutes. Her PR is right around 4 hours with just a little, you know, almost the finish line in sight. So what's the lesson learned there? You've heard me say it. Electrolytes early on. Often, even when you're not feeling thirsty, and carry a bottle and get ounces upon ounces in you, it's critical. One of our RMR athletes went out to Chicago to run a very fast marathon, trying to run sub 250, and ended up running over the first 11 miles. 9 of them were at half marathon pace. And that is the death of you. And what ended up happening to her, she unraveled at about 19:20, started to struggle. And really just poked along over the last, it was really a rough go for the last 10K. What's the lesson learned there? Don't fire to see the whites of their eyes. In other words, after the halfway mark, you can begin to fiddle around with dropping below marathon pace. But you really shouldn't run anything faster than marathon pace, really, unless it's a downhill mile. You really shouldn't. This is a lesson for everyone to hear and listen to. If you're thinking of doing a half marathon or marathon, over the first half of the race, you should not be running faster than pace, period. Physiologically, just not a wise thing for your body to be doing. So she's learned it from it. She's going to come back hopefully with a vengeance. And, you know, I love when athletes say, you're right. I get it. I shouldn't have done that. When they're arguing with me or they're saying, no, I can't believe that's it. I'm thinking to myself, you're going to make the same mistake again. And, you know, as a coach, It's more than control. It's more than power. It's more than ego. It's really is none of that stuff when it comes right down to it. It's a keen kind of passion about keeping people safe and happy. So if Mike Bisaglia runs a 10-miler and he runs the first 3 miles faster than his targeted pace, I know, hands down, he is going to suffer over the last 4 miles. I don't like watching that. And I like when my athletes do well.
Yeah.
But if Mike Bisaglia goes out easy, eases in, and then begins to lop off, negative splits over the last half, he's probably going to feel good at the end and run a PR.
Yeah, I remember from the 10-miler, I think at the 5-mile point is actually, I think I remember this, at the end of the downtown
mall.
It is.
It's right as you turn left up onto 7th Street.
I remember a lot of people at that point, you could see them going, they could, uh-oh. You could see the people that went out too fast.
Shouldn't
right
have.
On that point.
That phrase, shouldn't have done this or that. And it really is a study in patience. Long-distance racing, like long-distance training, it's a study in patience. You've got to ignore the devil that's telling you, come on, it feels great, and you got to, back off. So, and then the last one is a fella who, he messed with his training program, just tweaked a little bit, and seemingly harmless little moves or mistakes.
Right.
He had a long run to do on one weekend and a half marathon simulator workout the next. What he did was he switched his long run with a marathon pace workout. So on one side, he did this marathon pace workout, 10 miles at marathon pace, but ran at faster marathon pace.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following weekend, went to the half marathon and pretty much abandoned the game plan 2 miles into the event and began to race it.
Huh.
Now, what's the problem with racing a half marathon when you're in the middle of training? If you haven't tapered, you haven't rested for it, one or two things can happen. Either you're going to bomb, which he didn't. He actually ran quite well, or you're going to get injured. Now, 8 miles into the event, felt a kind of a pang in his shin.
Mm.
What the heck's that? Not sure. Kept running through it. Don't blame him for that. Comes home. He's got a stress fracture. He's out. He's done. Season over. End of story. But not end of story in the grander sense that he got it. You're right, Mark. Boy, oh boy, I shouldn't have. If I shifted that workout around, so he had two long distance races 2 weekends in a row. No one can get away with that without some kind of negative repercussions. So 3 lessons, 3 different stories. And people say, oh, none of those stories apply to me. Those are all about fast people. These stories apply to everyone.
Right.
It's a wonderful sport, running. It gets a bad reputation. A lot of it is undeserved. It's human error. It's making mistakes. Some of it is deserved. It's a tough sport on your body. That's why it does so many good things for you. It's that classic, cliche. You work hard at something.
Right.
Nothing comes easy in life. The good things don't come easy in life. Same thing with running. It's hard on the body. All the more reason to maintain, to manage your running. And it's true of anyone. Anybody listening that considers himself a recreational jogger, you still have to manage your running. What do I mean? Get a couple of sleepless nights. You're feeling tired. You feel like you're slugging through your runs. You better back off. Running is not a pill you take when you're feeling bad, and it makes you feel better.
Hmm.
It does. Sure, it releases the endorphins, does all those classic things that we love talking about. But if you're fatigued going in, as this guy was, he had run hard one Saturday, I mean almost all out, and the following Saturday he gets into a half marathon, should have been a workout, meaning run 5 miles at marathon pace, then drop it down.
Right.
You don't do that, somewhere along the way you're going to get hurt. And it happens again and again and again. And it's not that, listen, I know I'm coming off as a know-it-all. I'm still learning as a coach and as an athlete, but it is, there are warnings that, because there's patterns that we see.
Exactly.
That are sure. If you run hard today, Mike, and you go out and run hard tomorrow, you're probably going to be hurting. You run hard a third day in a row, you're probably going to be in the doctor's office.
Yeah.
Boy, you're a genius, Mark. That happened to me. No, I'm not a genius. It's absolutely facts of life. Heidi Johnson, my captain for the Boston Bound group, came up to me this morning after her workout and said, "Ooh, that was hard. I'm feeling fatigued today. That was tough. And it shouldn't have been that tough. But these workouts usually they're." I get through them a little easier than this. And she goes, you know what? Figured it out. I moved my workout from Saturday. I normally do it on a Saturday. She had a conflict on Saturday. She moved it to Sunday.
Right.
Hello. She gets it. And she said it before I did. So she's used to getting Sunday, Monday, Tuesday break.
One less day off.
One less day. And at 40, oh gosh, Heidi, I can't remember. Heidi's 45, 46.
Mm.
Forget it. You're not 20 years old. So she, the beauty with Heidi, something like Heidi, she gets it, understands it. So what she's going to do over the next few days is take it extra easy. The getting it right department, I've seen over and over people lately tapering properly. I'm loving it. Easing down their running in time for their race, not overdoing it. Smart. For a marathon, you want to start your taper 2 weeks out and ease into it. The weekend before, never anything more than 7 or 8 miles at a time. The week of the race, nothing more. You should go a day per mile recovery. So Monday, if it's a Saturday race, Monday you'd do a 6 mile run. Tuesday, 5, because it's 5 days out. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, you know, go 3-2-1, I guess. Or maybe Monday wasn't 6, it was 5. But anyway, you know, that's how you work it down, a nice taper. And then a call out to Amy Martin. Sure, she tripped and fell, screwing around with her Garmin, a half a mile, three quarters of a mile into Chicago, skinned up her knees, skinned up her hands, bloodied up. She gets up, tough as can be, former UVA varsity soccer player. She's got the tough exterior, tough attitude, gets up, but her Garmin's smashed, so she doesn't work. Takes the Garmin off. Now she's watchless. She's basically naked. No. She goes perception of effort. She listens to splits from the people, you know, the clocks reading them out. The clock is reading out the...
Yeah. Yeah.
She not listens. She looks at them. And she ends up running a big PR 302 in 80-degree weather. How did that happen? Smart. She didn't suddenly panic. She listened to her breathing. And I say this over and over again. In a marathon, half marathon, you shouldn't hear yourself breathing when you run. If you are, you're running too for your laboring. Too much. So pretty cool stuff without a watch.
Yeah, I guess there's a point where people did it before the, you know.
Well, Cynthia, there was no Garmins back when Cynthia was in her day. And
right.
When I cut my teeth as coaching back in the early 80s, we had water, no Gatorade, no goos, gels, you know, right. Shot blocks, none of that, and no Garmins. Doesn't mean that the athletes were better back then, but they were forced to get a little keener sense of what pace was about to understand it. Training tip of the week. Your recovery from a marathon, a half marathon, should look something like this. The week after the race, no runs more than a mile, but you definitely should run. Get out and run. I repeat that. Do not sit around and tighten up, stiffen up. It's a very important week to be stretching, rolling, and running, but only 3 to 4 runs, 1 mile at a time. Week 2 after the marathon, nothing more than 2 miles. Maybe at the end of the second week, you can sneak in 1 3-miler, and the third week, you can go 3 to 4 miles, and then after that, you can begin to ease up a little bit. Ease up meaning, you know, stop worrying so much and you can do a little more mileage. Stay visible this time of year, critical. It was dark until 7 o'clock this morning. People are not wearing vests. They're not using lights. Last night I was driving Annie home from piano. It was 9:30. She has a late lesson. She's in high school. She has an 8 to 9 lesson. It ran a little bit late. I pick her up. We're driving home. It may not have been 9:30, 9:20. Out on Owensville Road, almost hit these two guys. No reflective on.
On the street.
Running. I was like, what the heck? They're out running. No reflective vests on, no flashlight. I don't know how they were seen.
Yeah,
I mean, how were they seen, let alone how am I supposed to see them?
That's stupid.
It's like a death wish.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, good God. So anyway, you know, stay visible, please. And then watch running on the side of the road. You know, if you can get out in the middle of the road, if it's safe enough here, I just said be careful.
Right.
But if it's a country road and it's daylight, run on the side of the road. One leg shorter than the other.
That's right.
What do you get? Iliotibial band, hips issues, tight hip, tight ankle, tight knee. Iliotibial band, the worst one of the lot. So in town, stay on the sidewalks. You run in the gutter, you're asking for it. For that one leg longer than the other scenario. A call out, giving back to the community, the McIntosh family. I think 4 times this summer they opened up their field for us out in Free Union. No small gesture. Might seemingly hear as we're talking about on the radio, not that big a deal, but thanks to Tom and Carol. They do it for us for all of our Charlottesville Track Club events, all the nonprofit events the track club's involved with. We had a big crowd out there at Buck Mountain, and I would argue that we wouldn't have been able to have the event if we didn't have this great, beautiful field there that they opened their gate for us. Volunteer of the Week. Seems like everywhere I turn, Bob Wilder's there, helping at the finish line with medical. Thank goodness we didn't need him at all to speak of at Buck Mountain. It was a cool morning. We started at 6:30. Last finishers were in. At about, 9 o'clock, last finisher was in. We had a fast field this year. Over half the field broke 2 hours. Very impressive finish. That does not happen very often. So hats off to anybody that ran out at Buck Mountain and ran that kind of a time or ran a PR. So Bob Wilder just gives and gives. A lot of times people think he's paid. You know, I guess this is his job. No, it's a give back on his part. He has a very successful clinic, you know, for helping injured athletes. And so this is his way of giving back. Coach of the week, Dan Wiggins at Stab. His team averaged 22 minutes and 33 seconds. His girls at Milestat. They're number five in the poll this week. They are something else. Dan is slowly but surely building a mini dynasty. I was talking to Doug Tarring the other day, the AD, about it, and I said, you're lucky to have him. They've done so well. They'll be defending, two-time defending champions at the big meet at Woodbury on November 11th, the private school championships. Poll is out on Thursday in the Daily Progress. Please take a look at it. Buy the paper. Support the paper, please. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do the kind of stuff we are doing in there. They do it at no charge. Mug shots at the top five boys, top five girls. Top five this week on the guys' side, Visoke, Thomas, Deal, and Springer from Almoral. Four of the top five. Talk about dominating. Coming in at fifth is David Taylor. Top teams. Almoral still locked in at first. Western second. Monticello third. Louisa fourth. And Woodbury coming in at fifth. On the girls' side, Allison Hushke. Awesome job. 1933 at Milestat. Runner-up behind her in the poll this week, Madeline Hermsmeyer from Monticello. Ann Taylor. Annie Taylor, the freshman from Western in third. And then Devin Berger, the great freshman from Levana in fourth. Lauren Truitt from Almar around the top five. The teams, Almar at the top. Levana still in second. Western in third. Monticello fourth. And here comes Stab in fifth place. And then just closing out here, got a bunch of races this week. And it's getting crowded. We've got a 10K downtown. We've got a 5K at UVA. We've got a 5K at Tau Park. That's all on Saturday. That's the races I know of. Then there's this muddy race up in Wintergreen, 10 miles over the weekend. I think that's on Sunday. Crazy stuff. Sounds like fun. Big challenge. Just be careful. 10 miles in the mud with all kinds of obstacles. Of course, I said district meets next week. The one you can get a glimpse at if you want. Panorama. Mike, it'd be cool to have you out there. Come out and see a cross-country meet.
That would be awesome.
Could show you the ropes. That'd be fun. Next week, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's an early meet. Get to see all your schools you talk about. Levana will be there. Charlottesville, Monticello, Louisa, Western, to just name a few.
Very cool.
I know Almar Western Showdown. The last chance for that was Almar Invitational. ACC Championships week. And then the kickoff for the 10-mile train program, October 29th. Come on, you know anyone that's needing to get exercise in their life, it's a safe program. Charlottesville High School, 8 o'clock next Saturday, the 29th.
Now, I know it's not the 10-miler itself, but it's just how fast time moves.
Oh,
life.
It does.
Training for the 10-mile is pretty cool.
Yeah. Marine Corps Marathon is on the 30th. That's a big one. A lot of locals do. I'm going to try and get a column into the progress this week. It'll be tips on how to approach the marathon, specifically Marine Corps, because it is a tricky event to negotiate. Runners of the week, Hushke from Almar with that 1933. Julia Webb, a standout performance at the UVA meet. She was 13th. She ran as an independent, of course, of the Ragamount Racing Team, so not part of the UVA. She's post-collegiate. Marka Emerald and Barbara Streller, first for UVA. Great job. And then Derek Armstrong, way to go with that first-place finish for Georgetown. Good week. Lots going on. Appreciate you listening in. Feel free to call anytime. Phone number is 293-3367. If you have any issues with your training or running, I'm always happy to help. Really do enjoy it. And again, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop. Don't forget this week as well to stop into the Ragged Mountain Running Shop where you can drop off your used coats. Drop off a coat and donate it to the big warm-up and receive a discount on your purchase.